The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's the Gay Guy Clubhouse, so We're going to talk about some gay stuff and talk about some not gay stuff and just hanging out with you listeners out there, those of you who are interested in hanging out with me, gay, straight, bi, or otherwise, you are always welcome to the show. If you want to call into the show, the number is 323-843-6160. You can also call free on Skype if you are a member of Blog Talk Radio, which is free to join, by the way. And you can also chat in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/offlimits. So I hope that you will join me tonight. We're going to talk about whatever is happening in the world, as well as the gay world, the straight world, and everywhere else. And so just various topics tonight. Nothing really planned, as is typical for this show, as most of you know. So one of the good things that happened today was that the White House finally filed their amicus brief asking the Supreme Court to overturn Prop 8. They were saying that it is unconstitutional. And for those of you who don't know, Proposition 8 says that it's unconstitutional, or that it is. Proposition 8 basically says that it's not okay for gay people to get married in the state of California. But it was a major case because it's a major state, and it went through many, many different iterations and many different ups and downs, and it was legal for a while, and then it wasn't legal. And so then what happens to the people who got married when it was legal? Are they still legal? Well, actually, they are considered by the state to be legal. But those who get married after the fact obviously are not. So it just sits in limbo right now. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen with that. But if it does end up being overturned, that is a huge, huge boon for the rest of the country and for other states that are planning to legalize gay marriage. And not only that, the President of the United States has decided to back and support gay marriage in the U.S. of all states. And his condonement of gay marriage, whether you like him or not, is a very, very big thing. So hopefully the Defense of Marriage Act will be overturned, as well as Proposition 8. And when those things are overturned, it leads the way for all of the United States to be all states in the United States to recognize gay marriage legally. And so right now there's only 9 states, or 8 states in the District of Columbia or whatever, but 9 places in the United States that actually allow gay marriage. I remember when there was only one years and years ago, 10 years ago or so, Massachusetts was the first, I think. And, you know, now we have 9. So it's just a matter of time, as I always say on my show. It's not that it won't happen. It's just a matter of when. Of course, despite so many people trying their hardest to prevent it from actually occurring, it is actually going to happen. So, you know, I hope that, you know, people realize that when they do support something, it is absolutely, you know, whether you're the President of the United States or you're somebody's neighbor or whatever, it is incredibly important for you to show your support for someone who is going through something like that, because just knowing it is half the battle. People who actually support you and want to be around you, and actually support your causes, that means a lot to people who are fighting for their rights, whether it's gay rights or otherwise. So anyway, it's a good news about that. Hopefully it will get passed, and we will see probably by the end of May, we should have a ruling by the Supreme Court on this issue. So hopefully this will turn out the way that most of us want it to happen. Of course, there are millions and millions and millions of Americans who oppose gay marriage and do not want gays to get married. But as I said before, and as I always say, it is absolutely, you know, unimportant what they think, because honestly, whether you agree or not, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, people's rights will prevail. So like it or not, that's what's going to happen, people. You know, and I still don't see the big deal is about gay marriage. You know, I don't want this to turn into a huge gay marriage show. I've had that before. I'm actually going to have one again soon. But I just don't see what the big deal is about people getting married if they're gay. Why is that an issue? Who the fuck cares? You know, that's what I say. So anyway, I'm having issues with my voice tonight, apparently. I don't know why. But I'm going to play another song, and we will be back in a little bit. And we will take calls anytime you want to the show. The number is 323-843-6160. Hope to hear from you. Be right back. So we're back. My voice sounds a little better now. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Another thing in the news these days is the Voting Rights Act is in jeopardy of being overturned. It's been around. It was actually put into, it was part of it was legislated or whatever in 1965. And what it did is outlaw discriminatory voting practices, which was basically the reason that most African Americans were turned away at the polls, because they were made to have to be able to read, or some other things that were unfair and targeted them, you know, literacy tests, things like that, which at the time especially they were often illiterate because they didn't have, you know, access to schools or anything of that nature in the South, especially like the white people did at the time. So that was a way to keep them oppressed. And so they made it so that no one would be subject to any type of voting qualification or prerequisite for voting or a standard practice or procedure that would deny or abridge the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race or color. So that's what the actual 15th Amendment says. And so it is an amendment. Okay, this is an amendment. The act isn't, but I'm saying that it's essentially the same as the 15th Amendment, which, you know, is prohibiting government from denying people the right to vote based on race, color, or anything like that. So it's essentially the same thing. But, and so to actually overturn it is really a huge deal, an ordeal. I mean, to actually overturn something that helps protect people's rights makes no sense to me. Now, my feelings on this are that essentially, America is changing. Its color is changing. It's becoming more brown and less white as the African-American races and the Hispanic races and the Asian races and any race other than Caucasian have had time, and since they have had all of the same freedoms generally, to progress financially and progress politically and progress in business and in other ways. And so now it's becoming more of an even playing field. It's not an even playing field still, but I'm saying that it's getting there. It's going in that direction. And because of that, a lot of Caucasian people feel threatened by the idea of a brown society, a society in which the ruling class is not Caucasian, but is something else, a mixture of something, or perhaps, black or Hispanic or something of that nature. So this is the issue. People are afraid that blacks or Hispanics or Asians or mixed race people are going to take over. They're afraid that they're going to take over the United States and the white people will no longer have their rights, will no longer have their monopoly on society, essentially, is what Caucasians have had all this time. They came over, they stole the United States from the Native Americans through trickery and through brutality and through murder and through a lot of crap. And then after they progressed here, they then tried to oppress everybody else. They tried to oppress anybody who was coming up and trying to be on the same level, quote unquote, as they were. And so once people began to get on the same level, I think white people are panicking now that they are going to become like those they have oppressed for so long. Now, obviously, not every white person is oppressive. Not every black person is oppressed. But I'm saying that, generally speaking, when it comes to race in this country, it is certainly an issue. And the Voting Rights Act is very important. To me, I feel it's very important that it remains intact, that it does not get overturned. And the reason for that is because we still do not have a level playing field. People will use any type of trickery or any type of test or whatever they can, if this is overturned, to make sure that people that they don't like or that are not like them or not voting the way they are do not get to vote, made to jump through hurdles and jump through hoops in order to actually vote, something that is their actual, civil right to do in the first place. So for people to actually even consider the fact that the Voting Rights Act may go away is mind-boggling to me and makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why in the fucking world would you do that? Well, the only reason is because Republicans want to be back in power And just as they did during this last election, they tried to, and there's many places specifically in the South that tried to prevent people of color or people who were different than they were in some way or another in the districts they were voting in, try to make them take tests or make them show identification specifically or whatever. There was one case where a lady, I think it was in Virginia or something like that, or North Carolina or something like that, she actually, she was African-American, was told that she had to show her ID, and she said, no, I don't. I do not have to show my identification to vote. I'm going to vote whether you let me or not. And the truth is, she did not have to show her ID in that state, especially. And it's not required anywhere, as far as I know, but specifically in that state, it was not required. So she went to, she was said, to, you know, basically she said, fuck you to them, and I'm going to vote whether you want me to or not. And so she did. And that's what people should do. I mean, people, if you know your rights, then you should absolutely adhere to them and absolutely feel that you can do what the fuck you want as long as it's within your rights, your civil liberties. And that's what she did. So good for her. And, you know, good for people who know their rights, because that's why it's important to know what the Voting Rights Act is. That's why it's important to know. That's why it's important to continue to have it intact in the first place. And only people who are, you know, either racist or ignorant or have never experienced racism would feel that it is no longer necessary to have the Voting Rights Act. Fucking Scalia on the Supreme Court, a Supreme Court justice, he's an idiot, I can't stand him, he's a horrible, ugh. Anyway, he says that that it most likely is going to overturn it, or that's what he's planning to do. And it seems like it's going that direction, like it's going to be get, you know, actually overturned. So even though we have, you know, we have like a lot of liberal justices on there, but also, like I was talking about earlier about the gay marriage thing, that seems like it probably is going to be overturned as well. The DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which right now says that no one other than male, female, single man, single woman, whatever, can get married, is going to be overturned. And Proposition 8 from California is going to be overturned. So once all these things happen, we're going to see this huge boon in civil liberties actually occur in the gay community, and in the and in other communities, they're going to suffer as a vote as a result of the Voting Rights Act being overturned. So it's like you're 10 steps ahead and then 20 steps back. So it's like, you know, what the fuck? This is fucking America, the United States of America. We're supposed to have liberties and civil rights, and unfortunately, people are actually allowing people like this, justices, et cetera. I mean, what can we really do, essentially, but vote people into office to actually take away our rights? They're actually allowing people to take away our rights. And unfortunately, people are so fucking apathetic these days about everything, and fucking, you know, married to their religion or married to their jobs or married to whatever, and make those their master instead of making what is logical and sensible their master. You know, what makes sense for other people's civil liberties and freedoms. That is what matters. So anyway, that's what I have to say about that. But I just feel like it's really fucking ridiculous that in 2013, we're actually discussing whether or not to get rid of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I mean, it's really fucking stupid. So, okay, so I'm going to take a break. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'll be right back after this. Thanks. Thank you.
All right, so we're back. Thanks for joining me tonight. The number is 323-843-6160. So we were talking about the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and how they're trying to actually overturn that. The Supreme Court, some Supreme Court justices and a number of Republicans specifically are trying to make that happen so that they can kind of jerry-rig elections. But anyway, but I was just informed and read up about it that Rosa Parks today, I think it was, or sometime this week, she just got her own statue in the Capitol, the first black woman to ever get a statue, a life-size statue, in the Capitol. So that's amazing, and that's great, and apropos, considering what we're going through right now with the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So, and, you know, specifically for things like, you know, well, not specifically for what she did, but kind of what she snowballed, the snowball effect as a result of what she did in terms of, you know, pushing forward civil liberties for everyone. And, you know, that's why we need these kinds of things to remain intact. And I can't believe today, I mean, I hear people on Blog Talk Radio and other places as well, just in general in the world, saying that racism is over, it doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. And the only people who say that are people who are not themselves a minority, racial minority, or a sexual orientation, by a minority by sexual orientation or by some other means, because anyone who is not a white Anglo-Saxon heterosexual Protestant male would never say that, because it's just simply not true. There's discrimination everywhere. It's just as rampant as it ever was. Unfortunately, and as you say, unfortunately, it is not as in the open as it once was. It's far more kind of hidden from view. People are far more close to their vest about their racism and not quite as open about it. And because they know it is, you know, politically incorrect, you know, and although that doesn't always matter to people and certain people, it is something that people don't really talk much about anymore. I think that's a shame, because it does still affect us, and it affects people in both ways. It affects white people, it affects black people, it affects everybody. Racism does. So, but it obviously affects people of color far more than people who are not of color, or people who are gay, or people who are women, or whatever. So we do still have a need for civil legislation, or legislation for civil liberties and civil rights or whatever, because we are not and never will be a utopian society where everyone just loves everybody no matter who and what they are, accepts everybody, doesn't try to take advantage of them for being different or being in less power. I mean, it's always going to be that way, especially here in the United States of America. So, and it's the same with people who are you know, Christians and versus atheists, and people who are Baptists versus, you know, Catholics or whatever. People are always going to dislike someone else because they're different or think differently than they do. It's never going to go away. And so that's why you have to have these safety nets and these safeguards in place in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, in our, you know, in our governmental bodies. Because if we don't have them, these things will continue to actually regress. And in some ways, we are kind of regressing, especially if this actually goes through with the Voting Rights Act being repealed, towards a more, you know, sort of 1960 or 1958 mentality or whatever about race or about equality. And that being essentially that, you know, there's a place that people belong in and they don't belong together, no mixing of races, whatever. And it seems that the more the United States gets more and more integrated racially, specifically, the more trouble we're having. And I don't think that's as a function of the fact that races can't coexist. I think it is simply the fact that we have had a history in this country of being segregated, even though we have the right not to be. It's just like our neighborhoods are segregated. Whether you live in, you know, a white neighborhood, quote-unquote neighborhood, or a black neighborhood, or an Hispanic neighborhood, or an Asian neighborhood, or whatever. I mean, it's generally that neighborhoods are almost always divided by socioeconomic reasons, but a lot of times they're divided by race alone. And in Dallas, for example, we have, you know, pockets of neighborhoods here. We just left a bunch of neighborhoods. And in South Dallas is primarily predominantly black and Hispanic. North Dallas is predominantly white and and it's much more affluent in North Dallas than it is in South Dallas. And people say a lot of times, racist people mostly will say, "Oh well, people who live in black neighborhoods or Hispanic neighborhoods or whatever, they're always run down or bad or whatever," which is not true, by the way, at least not here in Dallas. People say that it's because of their race or it's because of their culture, when in reality, it's because of socioeconomic, it's because of economic reasons. It's not because of their race. And when it comes to your race in this country, unfortunately, helps to determine what level of success you can easily reach. I think anyone can reach any level of success if they really want to, really try hard. But it is harder for someone of color to achieve the same level of success as someone who is white. And what I mean by that is not that they're not as capable. I'm saying that they simply have a harder time of doing the same thing that a white person does because of racism and bigotry, et cetera, and the Good Old Boys Club, especially here in Texas. So it is essentially just a matter of that. And as a result of that, a function of that, as a whole, people of color often are not as affluent as people who are not of color. Beyond that, there's also the fact that for centuries in this country, people of color were not able to inherit property or own property or inherit money or anything. And especially people who were black, they were property until the late 1800s. So they had a very, very slow start. They had the Caucasian people in this country had a, 200, 300 year start on everyone else. So, of course, most people who are Caucasian generally have more affluence than people who are not. And that's the reason why. It's just been an unfair, it's very unfair, but that's the reason. But as I was saying a minute ago, that is changing. People are finally beginning to be able to catch up because we've had 100 years or so of equality, and people are starting to get on the same par. And I think it's pissing off a lot of people who are Caucasian. It's pissing off people who are bigoted, that are Caucasian. Because as I said, it makes them scared. What's the country going to be like in 20 years? Well, they say by 2025, that's not even 20 years. That's only like 12 years, right? By 2025, the country will be predominantly minorities. No longer will the majority be Caucasian, but the majority will then be blacks and Hispanics and Asians, et cetera, and mixed race people. So this country will look very different in 2025 than it does now. It will function differently, and I think we're already progressing and pushing towards that now. But there are some things about race that kind of irritate me. Like, for example, in Dallas, almost every single – and it would happen – I would feel the same way if everybody was white or black or whatever. But every governmental agency here is almost all black. It's like all black here. It's like you go to the city for permits, everybody's black. You go to the city for the streets, everybody's black. You go to the city for – I don't know, whatever. Everybody's black. It's like everybody's black in the city. Nobody's anything else. Not Hispanic. Not very many Hispanic people. Not very many white people. Now, if they were all white, I'd be saying the same thing. I just don't think it's fair for one race of people to kind of monopolize and own one section of the government, because I think it should be representational. Government should always be representational. And, Dallas is not a predominantly black city. It's not. And if it were, then I think that would be different. But it's not. If we have everybody, for example, in the on the city council right now, we have like only two black people, we have one or two Hispanic people, I think, and we have like no Asian people at all. We have no gay people. So I don't think it's fair for government to not be representational of its constituency. So I think you absolutely have to have people who represent who they're representing, right? I mean, that's only fair. And it's not to say that race is the only factor of what makes someone who they are or what they think. Obviously not. But it is an important factor in terms of culture and in terms of understanding who you're representing. So obviously, if you have a bunch of white people on the city council and no black people or Hispanic people or Asian people at all, then it's hard for them to understand where people from those cultures are coming from, and vice versa. If you have all black people, it's hard for them to really understand where people of other kind of races are coming from as well. So I don't know. To me, it's very simple to be fair about race. It's very simple to me to be equal and have equality. But it seems to be such a difficulty for so many people to actually have a society in which all of us are equal. Because I think most people feel that somehow racially or through sexual orientation or through their religion or the non-religion or whatever the case is, they feel that they are somehow superior to people who are different than they are, but simply because the people who are different than they are think differently than they do. And that is, in my opinion, wrong. I don't think it's right to feel that you're superior simply because, what you think is correct. You're only superior to someone else if you, in my opinion, you're only superior to someone else if you live a better life than they do. I don't mean by money or how much money you have. I mean by the type of life, type of person you are. So really, honestly, none of that really fucking matters in the end. But I do think that most people are really, attached to race and attached to whether someone's gay or straight or labels, labels. So I'll talk about that when we get back in just a minute, and I can take a break and my voice is going away again. So I'll be right back.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it goes.
Freedom Mind.
Don't
inside your tiny mind and look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh.
Okay, can you guys hear me now? Hello, can you hear me? Say yes if you can hear me. Hello, 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 can you hear me? I don't know if it's still working or not, but okay, you can hear me now. Good. Sorry about that. It may do it again because whenever it's done this before, it's done it more than once. But anyway, sorry about that. Fucking Skype for some reason does this to me. I don't know why. It always fucking does this. I have no clue what the deal is with Skype. I even emailed them about it, but they didn't ever respond. So who the fucking cares? But whatever. Anyway, so as I was saying a minute ago about labels, basically I was just trying to say that people cannot be judged based upon a category because everyone's different. So I just find people who do that to be really ludicrous and ignorant, and find them to be really just kind of just stupid because it makes no sense to do that, to categorize people based on something superficial like race. And race, all race really is simply your – it's just whether the amount of melanin you have in your skin, the texture of your hair, the color of your eyes. I mean – really, that's it. I mean, it's really all superficial. And I've had many shows on race before only. And actually, it is only 0.01% of what makes you who you are. So, I mean, physically anyway. So to actually judge people based on their race is stupid. Judge people based on their actions, not on their race. So anyway. So hopefully people will start to see things differently. And also today there was a story about about the the Pope having this really hot guy for a his secretary. They're calling him a secretary. He's actually on the cover of Italian Vanity Fair because he's so good looking. They call him Father George. That's his name. He's younger, like 40 something. And on the cover of the Vanity Fair, it actually said, "Father George, it's not a sin to be beautiful." So I think that's hilarious that the Pope is probably gay. but aren't they all gay? Aren't all popes and priests probably gay anyway? I mean, not always, but I mean, it seems like why else would you fucking be a priest and not be want to have sex with men or want to have sex with women? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Really, they're not even gay. They're probably all pedophiles, which is not the same thing, by the way. So anyway, but I don't know. The Pope, the whole thing with the Pope, I mean, the Pope and all that bullshit makes no sense to me. Anyway, why would you follow a man in, you know, this fucking crazy hat and these robes and everything else just because he says he's a direct line to God? I seriously doubt that, don't you? I mean, do you really think this man is really a direct line to God, this man? He's simply a man that has been chosen by other men, by other people on earth, to be the link to God or whatever. And I think Catholicism is ridiculous in any way, and it's got all of its pageantry and all of its craziness with it, but I think that's kind of beautiful, that part of it. But, I mean, Catholics in general that I have encountered, the ones that are practicing Catholics, are some of the most bigoted people I've ever met. But no one beats a general Christian, of course. You know, Baptists, Southern Baptists, and you know, Methodists and Presbyterians even. I mean, people like that are even – they're just the worst. Mostly Baptists and Methodists and people from the South are the worst type of Christians at all. And they're ones, you know, the worst offenders towards bigotry, in terms of bigotry, in terms of homophobia, in terms of just hating people because they're different than they are. Even people who just don't believe in what they believe, they don't like a lot of the time. You know, I'm talking about evangelical Christians and evangelical whatevers, you know, Mormon, whatever you are. So to be so completely, brainwashed, in my opinion, by a religion, and to actually use it against other people, when every single religion that I know of preaches love and acceptance and harmony and all those things, when that is typically the very last thing that you experience with a Christian today, especially a Southern one. So, you know, I live in the South. I live in Texas. We call it the South because Texas is unique because we're right between the South and the Southwest. So, but we are the South as well. And I grew up here. And, you know, it is rampant here. The hatred towards people who are different than they are is just rampant. And I cannot really, understand how a true Christian can rectify their hatred for people and their preaching of hatred with their so-called Christianity. Makes no sense to me. And, you know, the Christian religion could be a really beautiful thing if people would also, try to actually live up to what
the tenets of the religion are, but most of the time people just do what the fuck they want and they pick what they want, you know? So anyway, that's annoying. Okay, so I really am losing my voice, so I'm going to go ahead and end the show now. So I thank you guys for coming tonight, and I hope you guys have a great night, and I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
I fly with the stars in the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call the shots, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything, that I will retire with the ring, and I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me, but I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy, cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't faze me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up, it's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.
That I can have this moment for life. For life. For life. In this moment I just feel so alive. 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 That I can have this moment.
Money, the mafia, that's where the love sees. I'm in the Dominican, Big Poppy Ortiz, doing target practice, all these bitches just aiming the police. Shout out to the CEO, 500 degrees. Shout out to the OVO, Red Wings and Fatigues. Ah, niggas wanna be friends, how coincidental? This supposed to be all year, we ain't get the memo. A young king, pay me a gold. 40 got a bunch of weed, he ain't even roll. These niggas be dropping songs, they ain't even cold. Weezy on top and that nigga ain't even home yet. Yeah, be very afraid. These other rappers getting bodied and carried away. Fucking me and Nicki, they getting married today. And now you bitches that be hating can catch a bouquet. Ooh, yeah, you a star in my eyes. You and all them white girls, party of five. Are we drinking a little more? I can hardly decide. I can't believe we really made it. I'm partly surprised. I swear, damn, this one for the books, man. I swear this shit is as fun as it looks, man. I'm really trying to make it more than what it is. Cause everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
Have this moment for life, for life, for life. In this moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. That I can have this moment for life, for life, for life. This is my moment. I have become alive. I've said I can have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I've said I can have this moment for life. This is my moment, I just feel so alive.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.